Hello, and you are listening to Every Woman on KKFI. Thank you for tuning in. I am your second Saturday host, Jalissa, and I'm joined in studio with Fiona. Hello, Fiona.
Hi, Jalissa.
Hello, hello. So today, I love to talk about plants and kind of my dabblings in herbalism. And this show, I wanted to dedicate to herbs for stress relief, anxiety relief, mood support, because who doesn't need some of that? I've needed a lot more of it lately. And so having myself kind of reconsidering my own everyday herbal uses for emotional support, I thought, why not get into it? And later on in the show, we will have our phone line open as well, so you can call in if you have your own kind of two cents, questions, advice, because one of the things that I love about herbalism is that it is accessible and multifaceted, that everyone kind of has a home remedy in their back pocket. And if you don't have one, then keep listening, because maybe you'll learn something new. I've talked a bit about my background as an herbalist, so my perspective is I'm coming from working with Western herbs, working with a lot of local herbs to this Kansas City area, and sometimes using some Chinese medicine perspectives or pulling from like some osteopathic physician perspectives on treating the whole body, of looking at the cause and effects of things on a very individual and specific level. And it's the same thing when you get into which herbs for which person. Choosing herbs for relaxation, there can be easy ones like having a cup of chamomile tea before bed, but then we get into all of these little specifics and nuances and differences, to where maybe someone's allergic to ragweed, so they don't need a chamomile tea before bed. It might make them a little sniffly. I also wanted to talk about GABA on the show, because it is one of the kind of biggest factors in our nervous system to give us that kind of calm, relaxed feeling as well, too. So later on, we'll be getting into what GABA is, how it works in the body, and also some herbs that specifically stimulate that. So I'm coming from this doing research as an herbalist. I studied under another herbalist in Chicago from the Chicago Psychophysical School of Healing, and I studied for 3 years, which a lot of herbalists do general courses like that, where your first year you're learning about plants. Second year, you're learning about kind of harmonizing and creating formulas. And then third year, perhaps doing clinical trials or doing more independent research, more hands-on medicine making and stuff like that. So it is really easy to find herbal educational resources. So for listeners who are totally new to that, and I get asked all the time as an herbalist of, like, where can I go to find information, or how do I find someone to study off of, or find classes, and going to your local shops here, looking for herbalists in your community that are already working are great places to start, as well as the American Herbalist Guild is another wonderful resource. You can check out their website. They have some free courses. They also have some free educational information, and they have a database where you can find herbalists if you're looking for one in your community and having a hard time doing that. We've had a bunch of herbalists on the show so far. Last month's guest, Rosie with Nature Made Me, is another lady in Kansas City who's doing her thing. I want to present some of this information and just know that it's just a little piece of the puzzle, and it's kind of up to you to do more research to figure that out and to get into it a little bit more. So that being said, I wanted to talk about some of my favorite herbs for emotional support and stress relief. And a great place to start is in herbs that are nutritive. So that's when we get into the adaptogen family. That's when we get into very mineral-rich herbs as well, too. So we have our nettle, our oat straw, our raspberry leaf. Those are three go-tos as far as just nutritional herbs that are generally safe for most people to use every single day. Nettle I talk about on the show all the time because it's so mineral-rich. It's easy to find. If you're on the outskirts of the city, it grows in patches. It's easy to identify. And then raspberry leaf is commonly known as a women's herb in pregnancy and used in pregnancy and things like that. But it's actually nourishing for everyone, and it's very moistening to the body. So in the summertime when we're like a little bit fatigued and stressed out, raspberry leaf tea is a really lovely kind of offering as well, too.
And when you say nutritive, you're meaning it's got things in it that people might associate with a multivitamin tablet, like micronutrients and minerals and things.
Yeah, totally. So you're getting nutrients that you would get from a food or for a supplement. And sometimes when it comes to anxiety and stress relief and mood support, the simplest place to start is making sure that we're getting those vitamins and minerals that our body is used to working with, too. So that's why I love those kind of herbs, because they're not going to be doing too much. They're not going to be stimulating or sedating. They're going to be more bringing into balance and then providing nourishment to the body, too.
So just supporting your regular health so that your body can get on with what it needs to do, and then you can see if the anxiety comes from anything else or it was just your body's way of saying, I'm stressed, do something for me.
Yes. Yeah, because it's easy to want the quicker relief, and I have some herbs that I want to talk about that are really good for situational anxiety relief. But looking at that whole body kind of perspective, it's always great to start with those. So just something basic that you can take every day and have a cup of tea, or those three, the oat straw, the nettle, the raspberry leaf, those are great for overnight steeps too, where you can make a pot of tea, let it sit overnight, and then straining it in the morning and drinking that throughout the day, and you're just providing yourself with nourishment, and it's just a little bit of a different way than if you were to take a multivitamin and things like that. We have a lot of like B3 is a really important vitamin for our well-being and health, and you can find it in like whole grains and you can find it in some herbs, but it's a water-soluble vitamin, so you can be taken. Everyone, you know, it's great to take a daily vitamin, but you could be taking as much as that as you want, and your body's not going to absorb it all just through a supplement. That sometimes the food and the herbs are a great way to provide a little bit extra.
Yeah, some of my friends find that taking the multivitamin tablets makes them nauseous, so an alternative source for some of those minerals and micronutrients might be a good option for them.
Yes, yeah, totally. And so those are three. I'm kind of just tossing some things out there as well, too. So we have adaptogen herbs as well. Astragalus being one that I love a lot and I talk about a lot because it's a deep immune system tonic. So again, it's kind of approaching anxiety relief, mood support, from just a really making sure that your body is at home base and is feeling grounded and feeling nourished and having the deeper immune system supported. So astragalus can be great even with depression sometimes too, because it is fighting that kind of deeper fatigue that can come from a burnout. When we talk about like the neurochemical stuff that's going on, the neurotransmitters, and how if there's an excess or a rapid decrease or excess in any of those neurotransmitters, it can lead to this kind of burnout or this depressive state. And astragalus is a great herb for folks that want that deep immune system support. Kind of in our pandemic health conscious state that we're in now, it's one that I constantly am bringing up, because it's just generally pretty harmonizing for the body too. And then tulsi or holy basil is another great adaptogen family herb. So we're thinking of those as our foundations or our starting points for providing some emotional support and relief. And it's kind of up to you to see what resonates with you. It could just be like a flavor or a smell. But it's good to explore things that are growing around us, like the nettle, for instance, or going to an herbalist that can kind of hold your hand and help introduce you to these things too. So the more adaptogen herbs and the nutritive herbs, these are ones that are pretty safe to experiment with on your own if you're doing research and really listening to your body and things of that sort too. Mushroom supplements are really popular now as well, and I do, even though mushrooms are a whole different topic and show, I see them being connected to this as well too. So we have our reishi and our turkey tail and all of that good stuff. So that being said, we're going to come back and open up the phone lines and take some callers, and then get into our discussion some more about moods for emotional support and stress relief. Thank you for listening. We are back on the Every Woman Show. I am your host, Jalissa, joined here with Fiona in the studio. We are opening up our lines. Our number is 816-931-5534. I'll repeat that. But we're talking about herbs for emotional support, stress relief, getting into anxiety. Again, this isn't about, this isn't medical claims. This information isn't meant to substitute the advice from your doctor or your herbalist, but I wanted to throw some things out there for stress relief. And maybe you have a question, or you have your own kind of home remedies or things that you would like to share with us. We would love to hear from you. So our number again is 816-931-5534. So I wanted to talk about GABA. And then some herbs that influence our production of GABA. So GABA stands for gamma amphotericic acid, and it reduces the excitability of the nervous system. It is a neurotransmitter. So GABA comes from glutamine. GABA and glutamine are both functional in your body, glutamine being the one that is making you excitable, energizing, GABA being that calming factor. So there are a lot of supplements, and there are a lot of herbs and things that increase your natural production of GABA or help regulate and kind of balance the glutamine and GABA production in the nervous system through these neurotransmitters. So GABA also has a relationship to our thyroid. It also has a relationship to our sex hormones, but it's generally what gives us that feeling of calm. It's the body's natural Valium, you could say, that it produces for itself. And when GABA is in excess, it can lead to someone maybe feeling depressed. But when it's deficient, you definitely have the kind of excessive side effects of the glutamine that triggered fight or flight, that kind of restlessness that leads to a lot of people feeling anxiety. And specifically for like situational anxiety, having herbs that can immediately kind of give a little bit of a GABA boost to the system are helpful. And we have, I mean, pharmaceuticals have gabapentin, they have synthesized forms of GABA, and things that people will get prescribed as well. But using plants and herbs, you can help introduce that into your system as well, situationally, for anxiety and stress relief. And it's great for situational use, and it's good to research these if you're going to be wanting any kind of long-term use, or if you start to look into GABA and you're like, oh, maybe I do have an issue with my GABA production in my body, and I can see all these different kind of signs of anxiety and stress and that's stemming from it. Because this is a very delicate system, so it's not something that we want to really influence or play with all of the time. So it's great to really like look into these herbs and offerings in a larger scale. But I wanted to talk about some of them that influence this kind of neurotransmission here. Some we have kava kava, one being one of my favorites as far as a plant that can encourage GABA and has that natural ability to calm you. And kava kava comes from the Pacific Islands, and it is used, the root of the plant is what's used. So most of the time it's processed, it's ground down fresh, or some people will dry the root and then steep it in a warm water. It's unique because most roots, you're gonna boil them down to process them. But with the kava kava, it is more delicate, and the kava lactone tones are the part of the kava root that's activated when it's ground or when it's kneaded through a cloth in warm water. And the kava does have that immediate reaction as far as providing a relaxing effect. It's also a natural muscle relaxer. So it's a great situational plant for anxiety relief because it has that relaxing quality to it. Your body does process it similar to an alcohol. So if people have liver, kidney stuff to where they shouldn't be drinking an alcohol, usually they would not be recommended to drink kava, and also to use it sparingly too. Though I do know people who have used kava pretty regularly or daily because that's what provides them relief, particularly when anxiety is manifesting in the body or when there is some kind of social anxiety too. In Polynesian culture, kava kava has been used in ceremony, and it's also been used for conflict resolution as well, too, which is a really, really wonderful quality to it. I remember when I was first studying herbalism and we would go around sampling all of these different plants in our lectures, and we had a tincture of the kava kava root that we were passing around and trying, and I first tried it, and if you've ever tried kava kava before, it has a numbing quality on your mouth, and it kind of has that numbing ability on the body as well too, just kind of slowing things down, having that total kind of GABA burst of relaxation and calm. And I was just amazed at it being so strong and so immediately effective. Because a lot of herbs, you work on them on a scale, kind of.
So if you were nervous about dental treatment, it could have a double benefit because yes. You get a numb mouth that would numb some of the pain too.
Totally, yes. Yes, I've actually, I have used a little bit of kava because I'll use like clove and golden seal powder for any kind of tooth irritation stuff. I think last month's show we were talking a little bit about some clove oil or powder for the gum issues, and I have used kava before. It has that numbing quality, and it was actually also used in a lot of sacred rites and sacred sexuality practices where it was drank as an elixir or used in lubricants and things like that for the sacred rite. It's been used that way too, but it's one of my favorites to have in your kind of toolkit, because if you're needing that immediate calm and relief, the kava can really kind of bring that and present that. But just like I was talking about GABA and how delicate all of our systems are, our nervous systems, our, you know, our neurotransmitters, our amino acids, all of those things in our body, they're all delicate. So it's all about having balance and not using something to excess. But kava is also popular as an alcohol alternative as well, too. And there's some kava bars coming up in the Midwest, but I know in Florida and on some of the West Coast and East Coast as well, that kava bars are extremely popular as bar alternatives, because though the kava has some similarities to an alcohol, it does have a very just friendly energy to it. I've never drank kava and cried or gotten in an argument with my girlfriend or something. So some other herbs that stimulate the production of GABA in our bodies are valerian, hops, California poppy, and I'm including all of those three together because they're all a little bit similar in their energies as well too. So kava, some people use that for sleep support because it does have that natural muscle relaxing quality, but valerian root is very commonly known as something for sleep support as well too. And valerian root has a similar kind of sedative effect. So does the hops, and so does the California poppy. So just like how everyone is different, it's good to research those different herbs and kind of figure out which one fits for you. And sometimes just looking at them, like the way that they look, I love California poppies. They're beautiful and delicate, and it makes sense that I would want to use them for my own relaxation because they give me peace when I look at them. Like valerian, for instance, majority of people are going to feel very sedate and relaxed and have that whole GABA effect from the valerian, but there's a small percentage of people that will get hyperactivity from valerian root. I'm one of those people where I made this really potent valerian tincture and I was so excited about it for sleep, and I couldn't sleep one night and I took some and I was wired. I was like, woo! And even stuff like CBD and hemp products, where there'll be occasional people that something like that shouldn't cause a high or hyperactivity, but everyone's different. So there'll be some instance where someone will get totally out of their mind on something that would normally just relax someone and make someone feel very calm.
Yeah, and strong coffee can make me sleepy, which is exactly the opposite of what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I love exploring valerian, hops, California poppy. Those are great to look into as well. We're talking about sleep support too. A lot of people reach for the melatonin for sleep support, and melatonin is a hormone. It's produced by the pineal gland. It's released in the bloodstream, so you can actually have an excess of melatonin in your system too. So like I'm saying, all of these things are so delicate because sometimes someone can be taking like way, way, way too much melatonin, and it'll actually start messing with their sleep cycle instead of helping regulate it as it's supposed to.
Yeah, I know if you're seeing a doctor for sleep support, they often recommend having like 3 to 5 milligrams a certain number of time before sleep. But mm-hmm. then some people that does nothing for or makes them more awake, so then they tend to recommend a lower dose but earlier in the evening. So that sounds like that everything in moderation and finding your own balance point.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, it seems very like tricky because I'm just, you know, I'm overemphasizing the delicacy of it, but I have to as an herbalist, just because they're are so many options out there. And if you go to an herb shop or if you go to a health food store, even their vitamin aisle, you can easily just grab the first thing you see that has the words of the effect that you want. But really, it's up to us to figure out what the best option for that is. And I will give our number out again. It's 816-931-5534. If you would like to call in, we would love to hear some of your remedies or some of your solutions for stress relief, anxiety, even if they are totally outside of the herbal realm, we are open to it here. So the herbs that I was talking about, the kava, the valerian, hops, California poppy, those can be used situationally and be pretty effective. And we also have some additional herbs that stimulate GABA that may be better used on a long-term scale. So we have lemon balm, passion flower, and St. John's wort. Now, St. John's wort is popular for depression, but also for anxiety relief, and that is one that is definitely can't be taken with any kind of SSRIs or mood medications. So that's just a little tidbit about the St. John's wort. But the plant itself has really delicate little yellow flowers. It's such a friendly plant, and it works really wonderfully for myself. And I know plenty of people that have used the St. John's wort successfully for more of like an everyday kind of relief from either depression or anxiety. And that definitely works on a month cycle. So it's something that you would take every day. It would have to be made fresh within the year if it's a tincture or if it's been capsuled. Generally, it's going to be taken in some form like that, though it is added in tea blends and things like that. It's most successful taken as a twice-a-day kind of daily regimen, daily supplement. And you give it a month cycle like you would a new medication, of taking it every single day. And then after around the 30 days is kind of generally when most people would feel a benefit from it, if they're getting one from that too. And that is an herb that is also going to be encouraging your body's GABA production without it being in such a heavy hitting or sedative kind of way, as opposed to like the valerian or the kava kava that kind of get in there and get the job done. We also have the lemon balm and passion flower. I just harvested some passion flower yesterday, so I'm still feeling all lovey-dovey from the passion flower. And it's one of my favorite herbs for emotional support. Some people call them May Pops. You can find them in North and South America. They grow as native plants. There's some here in the Anita B. Conservatory off of Troost. I've seen them in a bunch of tiny gardens. They're lovely to have in your home garden. They like to vine off, and if you can get them going, they'll keep coming back every year. And most people are familiar with passion fruit, and passion flower becomes passion fruit. So if you have had passion fruit before, then you have in turn had some kind of relationship with passion flower. And it's, if you have never seen a passion flower before, I encourage you to look one up, because they're so alien and cool and just otherworldly. I was using them with the Aquarius full moon a couple nights ago, because they, even though they're not associated with the sign Aquarius, they just have this kind of alien, outward, expansive quality to them that makes me think of that Aquarius, humanitarian, kind of larger perspective view. And the name passion flower comes from the Passion of the Christ, and it's long been used as kind of a soothing, emotionally supportive plant. So you can use the flowers, you can also use the leaves. I like to make a tincture. Some people will make a glycerin tincture if they're wanting to give it to children, or dry them for tea blends. But you can also find supplements from your local herb shops and things like that of the passion flower. And it just has a very general, relaxing, wonderful quality to it. So it's a really special, and it is in bloom right now. Usually late summer is when it blooms and fruits and kind of grows wild, so it's great to look out for that too. I think it's one of those things, plants too, that just looking at it really brings me joy and brings me calm. And then also we have lemon balm, which I compare the two of those a lot. Lemon balm being another nervous system herb that does encourage GABA production in the body. And lemon balm is great because it's not going to be altering anyone's energy level at all. So that's kind of even less than the passion flower, and definitely far less than the chamomile, hops, valerian sort of thing. The lemon balm is just kind of a bright and cheery herb that's going to gently stimulate GABA production, but you're not going to have a slowdown from it.
And it smells gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And having at the very least a brown thumb, black thumb, sometimes for some plants, it bumps away in the garden a bit like the way mint does, even in Kansas and Western Missouri mm-hmm. conditions. So that might be a herb well tolerated by poor gardeners as well.
Yes, yeah, it's in the mint family, so it's one of those growers. You can just lay it down. I feel like every episode of Every Woman, I'm like, grow lemon balm, everybody, grow it. Because especially if you have like a little field by your house or something that no one really tends to, you can get some going in there and it'll just do its thing. And we do have our lines open still if you would like to call in and kind of share your advice, your home remedies, whatever you may have. It's 816-931-5534. So I'll put that out there again as well, too.
I do love the leaves of lemon balm. I'll cheerfully crush them and rub them between my hands in the garden just because they smell so nice.
Yes. Yeah, I love, like, all of my lemon balm, my rosemary, my mints. I'll always be petting them or, you know, brushing through them to just get their smells because it's so, like, so uplifting and relaxing to be surrounded by that as well, too. So we were talking a lot about, so that's kind of a lot of information about all of these herbs and things like that. I did want to talk about two more, and that would be the neuroadaptogens. So that ginkgo and rhodiola are two neuroadaptogens. So these ones are going to be more directly working with the functioning of the GABA glutamine kind of system that's going on in the body. And the ginkgo is known for memory aid and things like that too. But we also, when we have an excessive amount of GABA and we get into that depressive kind of state from it, one of the side effects, and a side effect from anxiety as well too, is memory loss and that kind of a thing as well too. So if you're experiencing fatigue as well as memory loss, ginkgo is really wonderful. And rhodiola is similarly beneficial to the glutamine, the balance of kind of glutamine. So if someone is having issues with their glutamine, they are going to be slowed down because it's that activating. So rhodiola is known to be energizing, to be uplifting, and to be helping with this kind of process of the glutamine and the GABA production from the glutamine. I heard in a lecture once the GABA glutamine being compared to hot and cold water, that the glutamine is the hot water in the bathtub and that the GABA is the cold water that you're kind of pouring in to adjust the temperature to make sure that it's warm and comfortable, because the GABA is being produced from the glutamine. So they both have a relationship with regulating one another, and you want both of them to be working in harmony in order to be in that kind of grounded, relaxed state. And that has so many benefits besides anxiety or stress relief. It is related to your energy levels and related to your sleep function and stuff like that as well, too. So that was all of that stuff out there as far as options for herbal support. And it's kind of up to you how you want to incorporate them. So I've talked about a little bit about tinctures in alcohol or glycerin extract of an herb. And I like tinctures for everyday use, kind of treating them like a supplement or a multivitamin. But you can also use a lot of these herbs in tea form. So the kava kava, for instance, to me has its most potency in a drink. That's traditionally how it's served, though there are like capsules and tinctures and things like that too. Things like the passion flower and lemon balm are great for like multi-use. Tincture, tea, what have you. And then with the stuff for sleep support, talking about it, there are some additional herbal options for sleep support if you're looking to produce some melatonin naturally in your body. St. John's wort is another herb that does the same thing, as well as the herb feverfew. And I love feverfew also for migraines and things like that too. It's kind of most known for that as well. But it naturally helps your pineal gland produce melatonin as well too. And that relationship is similar to how it may prevent migraine headaches for folks too. So if you have not heard of feverfew and you do have migraines and additionally maybe some issues with sleeping or insomnia, feverfew is a great herb to research and to look into as well. And again, that would be more in like a tincture or capsule form. I tend to lean towards taking herbs in a tincture form because generally they're going to be made with a fresh herb or a freshly dried herb. And to me, they just have a little bit more of a shelf life. Though you can totally have them in teas, or you can, certain things you can capsule yourself if you really want to get in the habit of taking them every day, and a capsule is kind of the best option for you. And we do have a caller.
We have a caller who had a question for you but didn't want to go on the air themselves, but they said they'd had wonderful support for their sleep and memory, but where can they find herbs like this locally? Where can they buy them from if they don't have a good garden or good access?
Yes, so that's a great question. So places to check out in Kansas City, there is the Harvest Moon Botanica. That's the Harvest Moon Botanica on Troost. They have herbs as well as locally made products like Oxymels, which is a vinegar kind of based plant medicine. we also have the Phoenix Herb Company here in Midtown Kansas City, which was formerly the House of Hezekiah, has a long history in Kansas City providing herbs, and it is fully staffed by herbalists, so they're very helpful with helping people navigate things, and they have a bunch of tea blends that they've had for years and years that are loved around the city. Also, last month's guest, Rosie, with Nature Made Me, which is off of 39th in Indiana. She has a space there where she does classes, has a garden, and then also offers some tea blends and other herbal goods as well too. So those are my three places to check out. I'm sure listeners maybe have a shop of theirs that they would like to plug on the air, and you're welcome to call in and do so. But yeah, the Phoenix Herb Company, Harvest Moon Botanica, and then Nature Made Me, and those are all in the Midtown area in Kansas City, and they all have their own kind of specialties as far as blends and products that they offer. But I do know that all of them have herbalists on their staff that are amazing and more than happy to help too. And you can also just kind of generally look up herbs. I know that the Layla Center has an herbalist as well there, and that there are many talented herbalists around the city that are kind of doing their own thing too. But those three stores in the Midtown area are definitely worth a visit. I would recommend checking out all of them, and they all have really amazing staff as well as an amazing array of things. All right, so we're going to take a break once more, and then we'll be back to wrap up this discussion. We would love to hear from you.
And that question before the break was from Clarence, and we have another caller on the line, and we're being joined by Brooke.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Hello, Brooke. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for this discussion. I'm actually calling because I am on day 10 of recovering from COVID, and it's been a really hard, slow road for me. And I was just wondering if you had any recommendations on herbs that would be good for really supporting the immune system and helping me feel better all the way around mentally and physically as I'm trying to come out of it.
Definitely, yeah. I would, so earlier we did talk a little bit about astragalus being that deep immune system herb. So that would be one that I would look into incorporating something like an astragalus and maybe mixing that with like a mushroom supplement, like a turkey tail or a reishi or a chaga mushroom supplement to give you that kind of immune system support. I don't know if you've had any respiratory symptoms with COVID, but...
Yes.
So mullein is a great herb that has been kind of even more popularized from COVID because it is specifically good for lung health and respiratory issues. And it's a beautiful plant. Its leaves look like a lung almost. So it has that, it's called the doctrine of signatures, where it looks like the body part that it helps. But mullein, you can have it in a tea. And it's a nice, like, tasty tea. It's a very, like, fuzzy, light herb. So you can find that at most, like, local herb shops. It grows in the wild as well, too. So it's easy to spot and harvest on a regular day. But in your recovery, it'd be great to get some mullein tea. And to do that once or twice a day, just to help your respiratory system. And if you have any kind of congestion that's lingering in your respiratory system, you can smoke a small amount of the mullein, just a little bit to help kind of draw anything out if there's any like excess fluids in there. But if there isn't, then the mullein tea would be great.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes. And yeah, when thinking about the, because we're talking about all these herbs for stress relief, and something that would be more gentler, like the lemon balm or the passion flower, might be nice to just give you something to take to feel a little bit of calm while you're transitioning to like getting back to your kind of best self with your health.
Great, thank you for the suggestions. I've also been doing my signature hot spa bath that always helped me feel better. Yes. Emotionally but physically as well.
Yes. Do you have any things that you like to add to your bath?
I don't have necessarily something specific. I just try lots of different things that I can find, different bath soaks and aromas. And I used to burn candles and sage that I would pick whenever traveling to places like New Mexico or Colorado. But then I had a house fire from that. And so I stick to not burning anymore. But... yeah, I don't really have certain herbs that I know to be the best for that, but I just try lots of different things.
Awesome. I love that. And you could even use some of the, not so much the mullein, but things like the lemon balm, the passion flower. Those herbs, you can put them in cloth tea bags and add them to your bath salts or add them to your bath to get some of their benefits as well.
Great, thank you.
Yes, thank you for calling in and sending well wishes your way, Brooke.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yes, I love having callers in on the show. I'm like, thank y'all for listening. I feel like I'm just speaking into the ether sometimes with all of my little tidbits on herbs. But yeah. So on the topic of baths, to wrap that up, like baths and even working with essential oils can be a very simple way to incorporate these stress-relieving herbs. We're talking about the delicacy of some of them. So if you're too afraid to start taking something or ingesting something, putting a small amount of it, like a chamomile essential oil in a carrier oil, and using a tiny bit on the skin or just even smelling it, the aromatherapy itself, you can still get a benefit from that. You can get valerian essential oil as well, and just putting a little bit of that on your pillow, you don't even have to ingest it to get the benefits from it. And we have one more caller too. Before we wrap up our show here,
one more caller.
And we have Michael on the line. And Michael, could you turn down your radio at home so we don't get any feedback, please?
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Michael.
Thank you. Yes, how are you?
Doing well.
I had interest in the herb lobelia and was. I understood that it can be added to other tinctures to strengthen their impact or effects. And there's also some caution about it.
Yes.
And I was hoping you could discuss that.
Yes. So lobelia is a very fast-acting antispasmodic. So any kind of spasm in the body, it's going to cease it. But compared to most herbs where you can use a larger dose of them for them to be effective, lobelia is something that you just use a small amount of. So if we're thinking about a lobelia tincture, it might be a couple drops. But it's great for like heart palpitations, even if there is spasm in the gut. So for some people, it will be in formulas to enhance it because it's a very strong herb in that sense. But its main kind of function in the body is ceasing any kind of spasm that's going on. So if someone has like a nervous heart to where they get like really intense heart palpitations, and that kind of might lead them into having a panic attack or something like that. The lobelia is very fast acting. It's also well known for as a tobacco substitute. So if someone has tobacco and lobelia in their system at the same time, it can make them ill. But a lot of people will use it when they're transitioning off of tobacco, or will use it similarly as like an offering, like a tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Okie doke. Well, we appreciate your insights. I heard you mention House of Hezekiah, so you're kind of telling your age. You're one of us old timers.
Yes, I wasn't quite around for the House of Hezekiah days, but I have. I still follow a lot of the formulas from the original space. They're really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, before Frank passed, I had one of his original catalogs, probably about 1970.
Oh, I love that.
And he was just so amazed that I held on to that thing. And I took it up to him and gave it to him because he didn't even have a copy of it. So.
Yeah, that's...
Well, we appreciate your insight.
Yes, thank you for calling. I appreciate
you. Thank
you so
much.
Yes.
Bye now.
Hi.
Yes, thank you to all of our callers. It's always awesome to hear from you and to have you call in. And House of Hezekiah, what a great piece of Kansas City history. It is now the Phoenix Herb Company on Main Street. And if you've never been, I highly recommend going there and trying out some of their tea blends that they have had around since it was the House of Hezekiah. And people have come back for more ever since then. So we have talked about a whole bunch of herbs here, and I hope that leaving this conversation you are inspired to look into just one herb or one practice to put in your toolkit for that anxiety, whether it's an everyday frustration that you may have, whether it is just situational kind of flare-ups of stress from work or just from the kind of chaotic world that we live in. But these are plants that you can have around either in a tincture or have a little jar of loose leaf tea from one of your local shops that you can prepare for yourself to honor your emotions and honor the kind of ebb and flows of our bodies and in our systems, because they are delicate, they are sensitive, and they do need and deserve support. We all do. So, yeah.
So, ebb and flow naturally for programs on KKFI, because we're coming to the end of our time, and our listeners are going to be able to listen to Donna Wolf coming up next.
Yes. Wonderful. So thank you for listening to the Every Woman Show. I'm your host, Jalissa, and it's been lovely talking.